desire your prayers this morning. We're glad to be here. It's been a number of months since I've been here, but we've been gone. About every time you had Fourth Sunday, we were out of town. Sometimes out for weeks at a time. So we desire your prayers. We have a subject in our heart that the Lord's laid on it. That the songs that were sung this morning will go right with, I believe, the message. And if I may be permitted to say this, and I don't know how Brother Bob thinks about stuff like this, but an evangelist gets to preach all kinds of different messages, and a pastor does too in a sense, but our burden is for those that are lost. But he gives different things, and down through the years, if I may, like I said, be permitted to say this, what I love to preach, if you want to put it that way, is positive messages for the church. Stuff that will hopefully encourage you, deepen you, challenge you, if that may be the right way to put it. And that's what I've got on my heart this morning. It's something that, well, let's get into it. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then I want to go to Matthew 28 and 18. I've got a lot of, quite a few scriptures. Matthew 28 and 18. He said there, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then in Colossians 1 and 16, 17. Colossians 1, 16, 17. This is just, as old Brother Archie say, we're just kind of putting a foundation out here to get started with. For by him were all things created, that are in the heaven, that is in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now then, Christ is a powerful being. And I was thinking, I had quite a little visit with the Lord here a week ago, about 4:30 in the morning, last Sunday morning, 4 to 5, 6, somewhere along in there. And he began to show me stuff I'd never seen. And that is the power of God. And if you look at the power of God, somebody says, well, he's all power. He is. But if you look at it from another angle, his least power is greater than anything else. And sometimes we wonder, well, how's this going to happen? Or I'm praying to God to do this or to change that or to heal this or to create that, so to speak. I'm praying, and can he do it? The devil will say, well, he can't do that for you. Yes, he can. His least power is more powerful than anything else. I love jets. I love to climb on them things. I love to get them, follow them out on the tarmac and get on the runway. And in my vision, I see them reach down. They grab those throttles and they start pulling down. Those engines start roaring. I start praying more than normal, so to speak, for it flying. But the bottom line is that thing begins to move. And it gets more powerful and more powerful. And I love to listen to them big jets roar. But listen, folks, if you put all the jet engines in the world, all the car engines, all the train engines, everything that has power, your big turbines and your plants and so forth, if you put that all together, that's nothing compared to the least power of Christ. All right, I said all that to say this. Let's go to Matthew 1 and 21. Matthew 1 and 21. What I want to preach on this morning is shall. The scripture goes through and it talks about, and shall means to denote control or authority on the part of the speaker, as when a promise, a command, or a determination is applied. So this morning, the word of God was given to you and I for us to be able to anchor into something. and to see and to understand Christ better than we would any other way besides personal relationship. But in the Bible, Christ has set forth the word shall, and he uses it, and I'm going to go through it and give it to you. But the bottom line is, the one man that's coming to Christ, he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We need to focus in and hook into and grasp the fact that when Christ says something, it said, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this morning, there is people out there in Babylon, or not Babylon, but in sin, and they're deep, some of them. They have been in sin for many, many years. And I don't care how deep they are. I don't care how far out and how what the situation may be. The bottom line is today, he shall. He can save anybody of any situation, shall. It's absolute. There's no doubt in it. Some people, the devil say, well, he can't save them from that. Yes, he can. He can deliver anybody in any way at any time. It's all they've got to do is reach out and get a hold of Christ. Reach out and humble and confess and repent and do what the Bible tells them to do. And the Lord will save them and deliver them. He shall save his people from their sin. From their sin, not in their sin, but deliver them out and bring them up and set them in a wealthy place and give them something they didn't have otherwise. Praise God. Oh, shall. All right, let's go to Acts 2 and 21. Acts 2 and 21 here. He said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall. It will happen. It's an absolute. This is spoken by God to you and I this morning. We can go out with an absolutely positive attitude that the Lord will save those people we're praying for. He can save them. He can deliver them. He can help them. You and I have seen some bad cases. There have been cases that we wonder, can it ever happen? But the Lord is able to deal with them, convict them, stir them. I guess I can use this. Todd Williamson. The bottom line was he had stayed away from God for a long time. And he got down to the place where he began to get a little convicted and stirred and scared and shook up, so to speak. And the Lord had mercy and worked with him. Listen, the Lord shall. He shall deliver. Lord, help us as a body of people to remember that no matter who it is, how dark it looks, how far down they are, to be able to say, Lord, you can save this person. I know you can. He shall. He will. He can do that for you and I this morning. All right, let's go to Acts 4 and 12. It said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now this doesn't use the word shall right here, but neither is there salvation any other. It comes through Christ. And you and I working with him. All right, let's go to Romans 6 and 14. Romans 6 and 14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now I love this scripture right here. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. This sin you must, and sin you can't help it, and so forth. They're leaving the power of God out of that. It shall not have dominion over that. When you and I get saved, we're raised up and out. It speaks of 1 John 3, I believe it is. It talks about his seed shall remain in him. That seed being Christ. That power that is there will help you and I to be able. Listen, we couldn't have done it. There's some of us in here have been saved for a number of years. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his power, for his authority, for his shall, so to speak, of being able when I've been in places that the devil was maybe tempting or trying or testing. I've had him come through over and over and over to help me to be able to go on, to help me to rise up, to help me to do what he would have me to do. But sin shall not have dominion over you, shall not have. People say, well, you can't live above sin. Yeah, you can too. I proved it for years. You can do that. You can live for God. You can live a holiness life. People, they want to pet their sins and pet themselves and so forth. But the Bible said if you get a good dose of salvation, you can live for God sin free. You may make your mistakes and so forth, but the Lord is here to help you and I. All right, let's go to Luke 11 and 13. Luke 11 and 13. Shall. He said here, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now there is people that we've dealt with at the altar that struggle sometimes with praying through and receiving this. These scriptures right in here, the 11th chapter of Luke, is some that I've used over and over in dealing with people concerning sanctification, getting and receiving the Holy Ghost. And he said here, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? We as a human being want to do the best for our children. We may not be able to give them a Cattleman steak every week, but if we will give them as best as we can give them. And it said there, he said, well, let me get it down to 13 verse. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall, listen to the way that this says, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What did he do when he set this whole thing up? He told them to go to Jerusalem, wasn't it? He told them the place to go, so to speak. He gathered them in. They were all of one accord. And he told them, you stay there till you receive, till you be endued with power from on high. He told them to do that. He wanted them to do that. That was the beginning of the power source of the Holy Spirit, to be able to take those apostles and do with them what needed to be done. This is a new age, a new time, and we want this thing expounded and exploded, so to speak, by the very workings of the Spirit of God. And so consequently, he wanted something there. Listen to the Old Testament, they didn't have it. They could do what God wanted them to do, but they did not have the power, they did not have the authority, they were not able to do what God wanted them to do, and so consequently, they struggled. But you and I, with the death of Christ and him living in us, and then when we get the Holy Spirit, the power that he gives us helps us to be able to do what cannot be done otherwise. We can go. I want you to have this. Did you ever want a child to have something? And maybe you saved back for it. Maybe the child wanted it. I don't know about this, but anyway, my daughter and son-in-law bought their four and a half year old child a rifle, a .22 rifle to go hunting with. I ain't sure about that, but anyway, the bottom line is they wanted her to have that. Daddy's got it, Mama's got it, and we've got these guns, and we want our child. Cynthia, when she married Derek, she just fell right into what he did, hunting, fishing. She goes right with him. They do things together. They work things. They kill them. They catch them. They clean them. They eat them. And now then, it's Delaney's turn. Well, I got news for you. The Lord wants you and I to have a power source. He wants us to have something that we can point at the devil in fire. He wants us to use the word of God by the Holy Spirit and take that word and go, pow! I'm not going to do that. I told him one night, many years ago, he come up to me and he stood, the devil did right in front of me. He said, you're going to say, I'm going to give up. And I stood there and I thought about it for a second. I said, there ain't no way. I'll admit, devil, I ain't on the mountain, but I ain't backslid neither. And I'm not going to do it. Get on out of here, devil. He left and I'm still around. And I wouldn't quit. There've been many times I've taken this word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and I've pointed it and used it and it's worked over and over and over to give me what exactly I wanted, praise God. The Lord wants you and I to use this. He wants the people to have the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have something that will be a power source. That will be a blessing. All right, let's go to John. John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He shall teach you. Now, professors get big money. I don't know what professors get paid. I dare say it's more than college teachers, but even high school teachers over, they make more than probably I've ever made in the best years of my earning years. And the Lord wants to give us one that is able to bring it to us, enlighten us, teach us, inspire us, challenge us, stir us. And He wants that Holy Spirit, us to have Him where He can work with us. He can teach us. He can open things up. He can take one scripture that you've read over and over and over, and He can keep enlightening you with that. And there ain't no Reader's Digest that's going to do that, folks. There ain't no book written by somebody out there going to do that. But the Holy Ghost working with the Father and the Son takes this word and makes it come alive, praise God. Alive. And you and I can take it and we can use it with people, ourselves, the church, sinners, hypocrites, backsliders. We can use it against the devil. He wants us to use this word and work with it because the Lord will take it. Many years ago, a little child, well, a baby, wasn't a child, it was a baby. They weren't, I don't remember the actual age, 2 or 3 months old. Over in Kentucky, over there in the Blackford area, Marion, this baby had died. And the parents and the grandparents were just literally shattered. And I didn't have any idea what to say or what to do. And I was walking up to the grandparents. I didn't really know them real well. I knew who they were, but I didn't really know them real well. And I was walking up to us, and there's a scripture he says over there, and said, "The Lord healeth the broken in heart, I believe, and binds up their wounds." He gave me that scripture as I was walking up to this couple. And I give that to them. I said, "The Lord is able to heal your heart. He's able to work with you and help you." And I tried to encourage them and comfort them. And I didn't know anything compared to what I do now about death and the grief and all of that. I didn't know it. But the Lord will help us as a body of people, even babes in Christ. The Lord can give them things that can be a blessing to a whole congregation. There's babes can fire a congregation up, fire camp meeting up, fire revival meeting up. Because the Lord can give them something and just make it exactly what you need. All right, let's go to Luke 1 and 37. Luke 1 and 37. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do we really believe that? Can we really get a hold of that? Are we struggling about something that we might need or maybe we won't? And we're, let's say, just use the word need. We're needing something. Some people need a car. Some people need a house. Some people need food. This world is in the biggest mess I think I've ever seen it in my lifetime right now. But the Lord shall. He said He shall. With God, nothing shall be impossible. He has the power to do anything He needs to do in any way that it needs to be done. And He can do it. I've watched Him through the years. I've watched Him in healings. I've watched Him in working things out. People say, "Well, I need you to pray about so-and-so with me," and would. And sit back and watch what God has done. And it's been a blessing over and over to see that with God, nothing shall be impossible. He's able to do anything. Able to do anything shall. Absolute. Absolute here, giving us something. This is not a great big scripture. It's bigger than Jesus wept. But the bottom line is, this is a power source right here that if we can hook into this, connect and work with this, thinking that I'm praying to God that can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. People say, "Well, that's impossible." No, it's not. If God wants something, He can move mountains. He can flip things upside down. He can take planes and trains. He can do things that people absolutely cannot grasp that He can do because of His power. And He's saying, nothing should be impossible. I can do it for you, children. What do we need? What are we after? What are we looking for in 2022? Are we looking for some victory? Are we looking for some more power? Are we looking for a closer walk with God? What are we looking for? Remember, He can do anything. All things are possible to Him that believeth. All right, let's go to John 15 and 7. John 15 and 7. If you abide in me, now listen to what this says. Now this is talking about the vine. I am the true vine. My Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. And it goes on down. And then he gets down there and he says in the seventh verse, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I learned years ago on vacation that Daddy would give me maybe more than he would otherwise. And most people on vacation are more liberal-minded, if you want to put it that way. In other words, they're there and they've got money saved back and they're on this vacation and we want to see this and that and so forth. And Junior, since he pops up and says, well, I'd like that Coke or Dr. Pepper, whatever. I want a soda. Let me put it that way. I want a soda. Or how about an ice cream bar? Or man, that Hershey chocolate bar would sure be good, Dad. And you know, I found out Dad would do it. Most of the time he'd give it. Now, Dad wasn't rich, but he wasn't poor either. And he provided me a pretty good life as he raised me and Mom did. They were good to us children, and I appreciate that. But I've got a Heavenly Father. I've got a Heavenly Father. That He said, if ye abide in me, Lord, help us to be connected in real good. Grafted in real good. Born again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now then, if we're connected and the Word is working in us, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. For herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Oh, today, he said, it shall be done. Can we believe that? Nothing's impossible. Nothing. And he said then, ye shall ask, Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need some money. I need to pay my bills. I need to buy some food. I've told this, and don't know if I've told it here, but in California a number of years ago, there was a couple that had a gift of working with teenagers that were hard to work with. And the people would bring these teenagers to this couple they'd work with. And it pretty well was a ministry of faith, is what it was. And one morning, the mother, or the wife, the head on the wife's side, so to speak, she had cooked every bit of food that she had for breakfast. There was nothing left. She didn't tell one person, but the Lord. And they sat down and they held hands and they prayed. And as they began to thank the Lord for the food and everything, she saw a vision. She saw an angel hovering over the table. They went to town. And when they come back, there was sacks and sacks and sacks of groceries sitting on the porch. She's the one that knew it. I don't even think she told them anything until they got back. I don't believe. I may be wrong on that. But anyway, she hadn't told them when they were fixing to eat. She had not told them that. So the Lord is able to take our sister, Faith Stewart. You remember the story with her? Or she took and she told them, we're going to, I believe with the orphanage down there, we're going to cook so much food to feed so many people. I think it was 100 people. And so they started in that day. And she went and she looked out the window and there were several times 100 people out there. And she was And she went back and she went through the kitchen and she told him, said, I'm going out in the cornfield and I'm going to get prostrate before God and I'm going to pray. And she did. And they said literally those pots begin to just fill up and fill up and fill up. They'd dip it and it just kept coming and kept coming. It done it all the way till the last person was served. Listen, folks, that's God. He can take anything and do anything He wants with it and make it work right every time. If you abide in me and I abide in you, oh, today you shall ask what you will. Lord, help us to get a hold of that we're a child of a king. We're a child of a power sword. We're a child of God, praise God. A King of kings and Lord of lords. One that has all power to do for you and I what we need Him to do. Listen, folks, if we didn't have it, we'd be in real trouble a lot of times. We would. What's the greatest thing He's ever done to you? Well, He saved me. Well, that's great. Fill me the Holy Ghost. That's great. But you've had some things since then. What about the prayers He's answered? What's the greatest miracle that He's ever done for you? Listen, folks. Well, that's a long time ago. This is 2022, and as far as I know, God's still on the throne. He's still alive, and He's still working well, and He's still answering prayer. He blessed me so much last Sunday morning, I was crying. And I wanted to shout, but I'd woke everybody up in the house, probably, and I knew I better not do that, so I kept my mouth shut. But I sat there, and the tears streamed. Because I seen something of a power source, of a glory source, of a working of the Spirit of God that can be ours. He shall save you. He shall give you the Holy Spirit. He shall supply your needs, praise God. And even sometimes your wants. Like I said, Daddy, can I have a soda? Yes, son, I'll give you a soda. Oh, dear Lord, help us this morning to get a hold of it. Help us to get a hold of what the Lord wants us to have this morning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Lord, help us to get closer to God in 2022. Have a greater hold on God. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Does it take a long prayer to do it? Do you have to fast and pray? Sometimes that's needful. But I've known of people, all right, Sister Ray, Geneva Ray. Now, this was before I was saved, but I've heard of it. And I was in Guthrie, too, for a long time. And that's been a whole congregation, basically, for years. But she was in a wreck down around Memphis, I believe it was. And there in the Myrtle meeting, I believe it was. And she said if she was going out and taking that post and hitting her head and crushing in over here, I guess it was, and it's going out, she said, Lord, have mercy on me, something like that. That's what I understood she said. She didn't say a whole lot. They got her to the hospital and they've taken her to the next hospital. I believe they maybe done some x-rays at the first one, said, we can't do her any good, let's ship her to this one. And they did. In time she got to the second one, the Lord had already done something. Don't take a big, powerful prayer. Well, I can't pray like brother or sister so-and-so. You pray like you can pray. You're talking to God. That's the main thing. Prayer is a sincere utterance of the heart, and it's a connection between you and the Lord. And when you get that connection, folks, nothing can stop Him. He is God, and He can take care of His children. He can answer their prayers. He can work in ways that we can just absolutely cannot fathom. And we sat back. I was hurting. I evidently pinched a nerve in my shoulder. It's happened twice to me now. And this particular time, Rebecca Ann was sick, and she was on her deathbed. And it was just Donna taking care of her mother and me in the house that night. And I was tossing and turning and flipping and flopping, and I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't go to sleep, and I struggled with it, and I prayed, and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I come out of my bedroom and made a right turn and went down here to where the heating pad was in the laundry room in the cabinet. And I got that and I come back out and I cruised, so to speak, through. And I went by where Rebecca was at. And she looked up at me and said, Carl, said the Lord's blessed me and He's going to bless you too. Okay. And I went in my room and I sat down in my recliner and I went instant sleep. Slept a good, solid, beautiful 3 hours, I believe it was. And I got up and I got the heating pad. I didn't even get the heating pad set or anything. I just leaned back and fell instantly asleep. And I got the heating pad then and got it set and got it on and got it in place and went to sleep for more. He done what nothing else could do. All right, let me give you another instance. Rebecca, when she was sick one time, she was hurting, and she said, I want you to text the ministers and say, I need prayer now. And I did. And it didn't have anything happen. She said, do it again. Okay, I'll do it again. I've done it again. Still nothing happened. She said, do it again. I said, Rebecca, I don't want to bother him too much. She said, I don't care. I want prayer. Now, she might not have put it quite that away, but anyway, she let me know, you do it again, and I've done it. Next thing we both knew, we'd fallen asleep and slept for quite a while and woke up and she was doing better. Don't quit. He shall. Nothing shall be impossible with God. He shall answer your prayers and give you things and help you and heal you and bless you and encourage you and inspire you and do things that nobody can do. Praise God. Oh, we're His children. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in me. In my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Oh, today, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I may not read all of this, but this is talking about the armor. But it goes on down here on about the last one. All right, the 16th verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Translations on that fiery darts of the wicked, the ignited arrows, missiles that he's hurling at you and stuff like that. But he said, you shall be able to quench. Not just let them do whatever, but you can quench, you can stop. All. Taking the shield of faith, get that shield of faith, hold that shield of faith up. And say, thank you, Lord, you're going to help me. And begin to stand mighty firm right behind that shield of faith. And they shall quench, they'll stop those arrows, those accusations, those things that the devil is hurling at you, trying to discourage and get you down. Let's go to Matthew 18, 19. Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now then, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm thankful this doesn't have to have a monarch crowd all the time. I'm thankful that a husband and wife are a team. Sister Elaine Dunn calls me for prayer quite a bit. The other day she said, Carl, I have never spent so much time on my phone praying for people and everything that the needs that we have right around her there in her congregation. And what I do a lot of times is I'll get Molly Ann and her and we'll have prayer session over the phone. And we found that it works. It works well. And he says here, again I send you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now he'll work with one, but if there's two or there's three and they're agreeing, that is a power connection there that works well. And they're pleading with the Father. He said, it shall be. Another thing, when I'm praying for people, especially in divine healing and bodily needs and so forth, I use the scriptures a lot. I'll use that when I'm the Lord that healeth thee. By my stripes you're healed. Said, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that whosoever... Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. I quote these scriptures. I also rebuke the devil and stand against the enemy in the name of Jesus. These are things that you can use that will help to work. For two or three gather together in my name. I was telling Brother Galen, now I preached one time to one person on the side of a mountain. Chattanooga, Tennessee. One person. Sister Mary Rogers, Brother Vader's sister. She wanted us to come up there. Rebecca and I went. We didn't have any children at that time. That was our third anniversary time. And we went. And the Lord was there. I'm glad it don't take a big crowd. How many times have you been blessed just, I don't know what your smallest crowd would be. Here we got a lot smaller half of what we normally got this time. But I've been in places where there's four or five of us in a Wednesday night prayer meeting in Shawnee years ago. And just hardly anybody there, but the Lord was there. He blesses and works. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, let's go to Matthew 21 and 21. Matthew 21 and 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now mountains, to me, when it's talking about the fig tree and the mountain, your fig tree is your little trials and tribulations. Your mountain is your big things, your hard things. But he said here of the big things. Listen, folks, I've been up on high mountains. And we was up, 14,000 feet in Hawaii. I've been up on Pikes Peak in Colorado years ago when I was a boy, but I ain't been up there lately. But these things are awesome. But God is bigger than the mountains. He holds the whole world in his hand. He orders all the everything to keep it in place. The sea is held by his power. It only comes in so far and does what it does, and then it goes back out. Got your high tides and your low tides. It's all controlled by the power of God. So he said here, if you've got a mountain, children, if you've got something that looks like it's bigger and bigger than you can even think about, so to speak, I say unto you, if ye have faith, and if you doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, your little minor stuff, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, Lord help us. Now right here is the key to the thing, is faith. Faith. Like I said, that one man said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If we get into something that's big and looks bigger than what we can pray down, so to speak, say, Lord, help my unbelief. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had him inspire you? Just fire you up, so to speak? When I was sick in 87, West Virginia, Brother Clifford Wilson was there. And Brother Salmons, and they come, and I was hurting. And so they started praying for me. They anointed me and prayed for me. And while they were praying, the scripture gave me, the Lord gave me the scripture, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And that got me fired up. And when they got through, I've never done it before or since, I prayed for my own self. And I took that scripture, and we were praying as a team, so to speak, or as a unified body of three ministers, and the Lord come down and touched me. It was all of us. It wasn't just me. Oh, today, whatsoever things you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Oh, the Lord wants to give us some victory in 2022. He wants to give us some blessing in 2022. So Lord, help us to reach out and get it. Lord, help us to, and I like the way the Lord does things. He can be rough on people. He can, but he can also be very loving and gentle with people too. All right, now then, let's go back to Luke 11 and 5. 11 and 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, that'd be rather embarrassing. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, he kept asking, knocking. Now get this. And I say unto you, I say unto you, I have been fired with this scripture for several months now. I didn't realize, I've quoted the one over there that said, ask and you shall receive, I think one of them says, ask and you shall receive. This one says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I say unto you. I come across this and got a reading, studying, whatever, and I got a hold of the scripture and I thought, he says right here, I say unto you. Now folks, if I tell you I'm going to do something for you, would you believe me? If I told you I was going to buy you a brand new Cadillac, would you believe me? All right, let's say if I was Bill Gates and I said, I'm going to buy you a brand new Cadillac. I would believe him. I'd believe a person if I knew them and I knew they had the sources and the authority and so forth to do it, I'd believe them. Let's believe God that he can do this. He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Shall be given you. Shall be given you. Lord, help us to get a hold of these things. The Lord wants us to use them for the glory of God. He wants us to use them for the blessing of souls. People need to see God answering prayer. They need testimony. They need to know that God is working in 2022. All right, Mark 13:11. Here's another one. Said, but when they shall lead, and it's talking about delivering us up to councils and so forth. And then it goes down, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speaks, but the Holy Ghost. Now there's times we don't know hardly what to say. I'm not talking about minister, I'm talking about all of us here. There's times we don't know what to say. But he said he shall give it to us. We're living in a time, folks, that we could be jerked up before some of this. We could be put before councils. We could have all kinds of things happen to us. We live in a dangerous time. It talks about, over there it talks about, what's the word they use? Part of what it means is dangerous. I know that. Perilous times. In perilous, last days is perilous times. And that's true, but that also means dangerous times. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in times where people are not even using good common sense. We are morally bankrupt as a nation, basically. But the Lord said, if you have this happen to you, they deliver you up and so forth, don't worry about it. Just look to God and let him talk through you. Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour shall that speak ye, for it not ye. Oh, let's let the Lord work. All right, let's go to one more place and I'll quit. James, the first chapter and the fifth verse. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Any of us lack some wisdom? Could we use a little bit more? We could. If any of you lack wisdom, there's going to be times that I don't care who we are. We're probably going to come up against something that we just don't know what to do with right at that moment, and we're going to have to talk to God. Brother Austin Wilson, I was pastoring Guthrie, and I took something to him. And working with the board of the trustees and so forth. And so they said, why don't you call Brother Austin? Or maybe I suggested, I don't remember which. But anyway, he said, give me 3 days. He didn't just answer me immediately. He said, give me 3 days to pray about it. I'll get back with you. I said, okay. So he prayed about it, and he got back with me. And he said, this is what needs to be done, I feel like. And I thought about what he said. I thought he was right. I presented that back to the board, and that's the way we went with it. But the bottom line is, if we lack wisdom, ask. He's got all wisdom. He's got all power. Ask. And he's got all power and wisdom, and he is able to give us anything that we need to help people with. All right, I was going to quit there. I got one more. Philippians 4:19. This is one that I have loved down through the years. It said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. What I told a while ago about the couple in California is nothing compared to what God has done. He has given things and done things for people down through the years, given food, cars, clothes, shoes, coats. He supplied these things. My God shall supply all of your needs. Shall supply all of your needs by riches and glory. How much riches and glory does he have? He can touch, he can use Bill Gates. He can use any of the richest men in this country to do things. If he wants to. He doesn't have to, but if he wants to. So Lord, help us, shall. Shall. We desire your prayer if we want to. We've had a pretty good 2021. And we're looking for a rich 22. Pray for me.